Let's go to Brett in Grand Rapids here on 97.1. Hello, Brett.
Hey, how you guys doing, man? I got a question for you.
All right.
I mean, you guys talk about how great Scott Harris is at building the minor league system and outfitting out the whole organization. What makes you think he's got any ability to make good trades?
We're not sure of that, Brett. We're not sure of that. And in fact, I mean, we haven't mentioned it today, but we've talked about it in the past. This is a huge test of Scott Harris's skill set.
I don't want him making this test. I don't want him around. I think he should be the president of baseball operations, and we need to hire a GM.
Well, you want to do that today?
I would rather do it before he makes these mistake trades.
Well, we'll see what he gets out of this. First of all, what you mentioned probably isn't going to happen. He is unproven in this regard. He got the job for a reason. And if you're going to hire a guy, you better let him do the job you hired him to do.
And I mean, I guess technically Jeff Greenberg is the general manager of the Detroit Tigers. Scott Harris is president of baseball operations. But I think we all kind of feel that Scott Harris is the guy who makes all the deals. But I guess what in the past has really bummed you out about the trades that he's made?
Okay, Trey Sweeney for Flaherty. That's one.
Well, they got Lorenzo. They got Lorenzo as part of that.
Hold on, Brett. They did get some prospects that are promising, and Flaherty they traded and got him back.
Well, yeah, they got him back as a free agent, way overpriced. Framber Valdez for $35 million. Every one of his decisions he's made as a GM when it comes to player personnel. And I'm not talking about drafts because we don't know. Because, you know, just because McGonagall's good doesn't mean every other one that he's ever drafted is going to turn out to be a McGonagall.
Well, it's still pretty early in his career. He has overseen this team through two playoff runs, and sometimes the best trades are the ones you don't make and that other people are calling about. But, Brett, as far as his ability to make this trade, it's a fair question, and it's one we've asked in the past of whether or not, you know, the guy – can he pull this off? I'm not completely sold that he can pull this off. If you're going to trade the best asset in baseball at the trade deadline, that's perhaps been available for the best that's been available in years. You better do it right. And he has some proving to do. And he and Jeff Greenberg and his whole team has some proving to do.
Framber Valdez has made 15 starts this year for the Tigers. 9 of them, he's gone at least 5 innings and given up 2 earned runs or less.
Yeah,
he's been pretty good. He's had bad starts that result in ballooning his ERA, but 9 of the 15 have been very good.
Yeah, and you know, ultimately he's responsible for the product. This disappointment's on his shoulders. But the last couple of years, when he was in charge, they've had very satisfying seasons. And a lot of it had to do with the previous GM, but he figured out which guys to keep and which guys not to. I mean, you know, they could have pulled the plug on some players that were struggling through some hard times, but have helped them win.
Yeah.
Now he doesn't have a stamp of approval that is written in stone. This isn't like Brad Holmes. I'm a Brad bot, but I'm not a Scott Harris
sycophant.
Yeah.
No, nor am I. I mean, I'm intrigued by what he's done with his drafting decisions. Mm-hmm. And it's not just because McGonagall's paid off. I'm excited about Max Clark. And then that was a real decision made to go with Max Clark or to go with somebody who's going to be more ready to play in the major leagues at that time. And he's drafted shortstops in the last couple of drafts here. So I'm curious to see how these guys do matriculate through the minors. Those are just the top picks, let alone everybody else that you've got.
Oh.
But he still has plenty to prove. I don't know if we don't have much of a track record with trades, right? You've got Flaherty. You've got the trade that he didn't make, that he looked like he had a trade with the Dodgers done for Eduardo Rodriguez.
Yeah.
Obviously, that backfired the last minute. But he hasn't made that many trades. Last year, the deadline, I think what upset people was they didn't trade for enough good talent in return. They got Kyle Finnegan. Outside of that, not a whole lot.
I will almost guarantee, though, or I shouldn't say that, just keep in mind people might have been asking for Kevin McGonagall.
Well, sure. I mean, that's the other thing is you don't know what the asking price is.
But, you know, we'll see what he does here. There's not a blanket approval rating of Scott Harris here.
And I can understand people like the previous caller being anxious about Scott Harris having the Scooble trip, a chip to trade, and not being confident that he's going to get something in return that's going to be to his liking. But can't criticize until it happens or doesn't happen.
Well,
now he's already got his flag planted. He doesn't want him here. But if you think that you're going to hire a GM, get him in place, it's going to, you know, at this kind of time frame, I guess that's kind of crazy.
Yeah. Let's go to Mark in East Point. Hello, Mark.
Hey, how you doing?
What's up?
Well, I think I got a little bit of a different take. I mean, baseball has changed a little bit over these last few years, and what we're seeing from these guys, I mean, you look at like Vladimir Guerrero, Tatis, Machado, they're all struggling. I mean, you know, Guerrero's got 3 homers. So we're talking about trading Torkelson or trading Mize or trading Scooble. I mean, I kind of have a different take. I would re-sign Torkelson. I mean, he's got 12 bombs right now.
He's arbitration eligible, okay? So he is on a very team-friendly contract he doesn't take up a lot of money. And, you know, if you want to move beyond Torkelson, that's fine. You just have to be sure you've got somebody better, or you're going to get better elsewhere. It's hard to find a player that makes $4 million.
Absolutely. I'm just saying, when we go to add a bat right now in the major leagues, I mean, you look at Kyle Tucker last year, he got an enormous contract. You're not going to get a guy hitting 300 that even has 20 homers for less than probably 40, 50 million, these contracts are. So you got to kind of stick with what you got a little bit. And then you look at Scooble or Mize, I don't know if they want to be here or not. If they don't want to be here, then you got to trade them. But at that point, I think if not, you gotta sign them. Because you're not going to give away something just for a chance at somebody to come in from a prospect standpoint when prospects are probably, you know, 60% misses if you look at past trades that have happened, you know, overall from high-value guys. I mean, there's endless amounts. There's very few that end up turning out to be studs or all-stars like we have with Mize or Scooble.
Well, you're right about the down year for a lot of big-time sluggers. It's a real down season. And for baseball as a whole, I feel like it's kind of like a down year for the hitter. At least it certainly was to start the season. Things are starting to pick up. First base is just one of those positions you got to have production out of. And 12 home runs looks good, but the 29 RBIs that go with it in 73 games, that's not good. The fact that he struck out 95 times in the 73 games, that's not good either. And I'm a huge Torque fan. And I want him to succeed so badly, but it's just been so inconsistent. In every year, it's inconsistent. This year, it feels like it's worse. And he's hitting at 204. And now he's had some bad luck. Sure, he does hit the ball hard, but it's that swing and miss stuff that drives you nuts.
And there's too much of it. But
way too much.
How many guys, do you have stats in front of you?
I do.
How many guys in the majors are hitting over 300 right now? And that's... It's only to point out how all these offensive numbers are way down.
Correct. Yeah, there aren't many. There are in the Major League Baseball. There are
qualified hitters.
I mean, there's 8. 8.
That's pretty crazy. It is a year of pitching and defense, apparently. But 248-539-9797. TJ in Farmington. What's up, TJ?
Hey, Doug. How's it going?
Good, sir.
I was just going to comment about the Scooble situation. I mean, I think that there's a team that hasn't really been mentioned too much, at least that I've heard nationally or locally. Atlanta seems like they could be a pretty good suitor for him. They have injuries with Strider and some other guys in their rotation right now, and they have the money and the flexibility to at least try to put a deal on the table that'll be good enough if they were to trade for Scooble. So I wasn't sure what your take on possibly Atlanta getting him would be. And I have another question, but I just wanted your take on that.
So their names come up a little bit, but not a ton. And certainly I would think that they are a possibility. They've got some pitching in their organization that they could send back, some young pitching that might make some sense for Detroit. But they haven't been a team that I can personally say I've done a deep dive on because their name isn't as prominent. Scott, do you have any thoughts on Atlanta?
And they have a couple prospects in the top 60. They're both pitchers.
That's what I'm talking about.
But it's two wildly different. I think their timeline is way a ways. Cam Caminiti is their top prospect. and he's at high A ball right now. Their second prospect is actually playing with the Braves right now. So, and the third prospect is at high A ball. He's a second baseman shortstop. So it's, I don't know if they have enough from the prospect pool. I mean, if I'm looking, if I'm the Tigers and I'm looking at what the Dodgers have to offer and what the Braves have to offer, it's not even a question.
The Dodgers are loaded with bats.
Yeah.
And it's mostly bats.
And then my other question real quick would just be, do you see any possibility of someone like Luis Arraez maybe even being a target? I was surprised in the offseason that no one really went after him, and San Francisco of all teams kind of reached out and pulled the trigger on a deal with him, and he's hitting well above 300. And yeah,
he's one of the best hitters in the game.
He's the second best hitter in baseball right now, 326.
Are we talking about a trade?
Yeah, like I know the Giants aren't really in the market to have, you know, someone like Skubal come there, but I just don't see a way that getting a bat like that wouldn't be on the table if we need one more down the stretch. But it's a left-handed bat, so I could see. Do you think there's maybe an overload in left-handed bats already?
Let me just take a look here, because what his contract that he signed with them is a one-year deal. He'd be a rental. They'd have to get back into it. They'd have to reel off 10 of 12 here for it to make sense. Now, I've said all along, if you're in it, okay, they cut the wild card chase to 2.5 games at the trade deadline, and they can't buy, I'd sell. And it's not because I don't think they're good enough to make the playoffs if they cut it that much. If they've cut it that much, it's that they're not good enough to win the World Series. So even if you get back into play, And you make a buy move, yeah, Arraez would be great, but.
You talking about a guy who knows the strike zone? How many times he struck out this year?
I'm going to guess not a lot. 7.
Well, that'd be ridiculous. Wait, he's not Tony Gwynn. 13. 13 in 316 plate appearances.
It's Carson Anderson, 97-1. Doug Karsh, Scott Anderson, 97.1. Look, we were talking during a commercial break, and it's interesting. We live in a world where it feels like people are quick to determine either everything sucks or is great. And there's a lot of nuance and a lot of in between. And stories sometimes take time to unfold. Do I know that Scott Harris is going to make some great trades if they're selling? No, I don't. But he was hired to do a job. You got to let. I would imagine if you hired an employee, you should let him do the job. He's never had a major possibility here, right? This is his first really big time possible move. And, you know, from a sell standpoint, he could have tried to buy. As time goes by, we'll see if he was right in not selling off prospects. Because we have examples of Steve Yzerman not making moves for a longer period of time. And it doesn't feel like his prospect pools have rewarded him for hanging on to guys. Harris didn't sell McGonigal. I'm sure people asked about McGonigal. And McGonigal's rewarding him for not selling him, right?
Right.
So, you know, Harris is here. The one caller wants him gone, doesn't want him making this decision. You know, it's the first time he's had something like this, most likely, that he, you know, could sell off a very coveted piece. And, you know, I think it's fair to actually see the results before we judge that he can't do that. But that was not really on the mind of the caller. 248-539-9797. Dale in Plymouth. Hi, Dale.
Hi, how you doing? You guys are phenomenal. I really enjoy listening to you.
Thank you
for taking my call.
Sure.
It's really a straightforward question. How the heck, and I know you've probably talked about this before, how is Chicago... What magic did they pull off that we can't seem to do that took them from the bottom to the top in 1 year? And that's basically all I want to know.
Well, they made an international signing. It was massive for them, getting a Japanese player who, you know, hit the scene this year and hit 20 home runs real quickly. And then, unfortunately for them, got hurt. And that might stunt their growth a bit. But they've hit on some young prospects that they have. Maybe this is a little bit earlier than they expected it to, but they've got a lot of good young players right now.
Okay. Well, thank you. I just wondered if there was something, some formula they had that Harris just hasn't been able to put his finger on, that's all.
Well, let's be fair. The Tigers have been that team the last couple of years that have probably overachieved in terms of what people expected from them.
But, yeah, but I mean,
they're underachieving this year. Let's be clear, too.
Colson Montgomery's a young player they have. He's got 19 home runs this year. They went out there and got Murakami, and Murakami hit 20 home runs in 57 games before he got hurt. And I don't know if he was leading the majors, who was close to leading the majors at that time. And they've got some young players. Miguel Vargas is a good young player for that team. But it's not all hitting. You got to pitch, too. But in that ballpark, when the ball flies out there, they've got a nice lineup of players to work with. And, you know, we'll see where they are. When all is said and done, I don't know if Chicago's going to stay on top of the division. But with Cleveland having issues because Jose Ramirez is out for probably five more weeks, that could stunt what they do and still give Chicago an opportunity to stay on top. But we'll find out. We'll find out how good they really are. Is this just a, you know, was this just a really hot start for them?
There is some Red Wing reporting out there that we will get to coming up a little bit later on. Is another report about a player that could end up in Detroit. That'll be in the noon hour. In the meantime, Trajan Langdon, president of basketball operations with the Pistons, is speaking to the media as we speak. He did clear up something, Kang. You just, one of the beat reporters, because there was stuff going around social media, and we always try and keep it to the most credible of sources. It said the Pistons have reached out to Malik Beasley, and Beasley's camp was interested in returning. And what's the tweet, Kang?
Yeah, this one's from Hunter Patterson, who covers the Pistons for The Athletic, and he said that Langdon said himself at this presser right now that he and the Pistons have not had any conversations with Malik Beasley. And so as far as we're all concerned, and as far as we know, that he's still under investigation by the NBA. Any team otherwise would have had a chance to sign him. He's obviously not in the NBA. So I just feel like people need, I've said this for a while now, you guys know that people need to move on from Beasley anyways, but that's from Langdon's mouth, that they haven't had any conversations with Beasley's camp.
Has he, I know he's speaking right now, has there been a tweet that is about anything that he is, has he confirmed anything or?
No, just the fact not. That with the 21st overall pick, that they're more likely to move up than back or out of the draft. So they might get aggressive in the draft. As far as if they stay at 21, according to Patterson, that Langdon said that they're looking for the best player available, and it is hard to find a shooter, so or unlikely to find a high-quality shooter. And so at that point, they're just looking for the best player to help their team.
BPA, interesting.
Right?
Okay, thank you. Now, the Pistons are linked to another free agent. And this one comes from Michael Scotto of Hoops Hype, who reports that the Pistons are among the teams that have a contact that have shown interest in Austin Reeves from the Lakers, who averaged 23-3 last year, shot 49% from the field, 5.5 assists, and 4.7 rebounds per game. And he cites the Athletic Athletic's Dan Wolke, who says Brooklyn, Atlanta, and Detroit are interested in pursuing Reeves. Now, he can re-sign with the Lakers for more money than he can re-sign with anybody else. But they got a cap expert that said if Detroit renounces Trajan Langdon, Kevin Huerter, Malik Beasley, waives Duncan Robinson, trades Caris LeVert, and one of Paul Reed or Marcus Sasser, and decline Tolu Smith's $2.4 million team option, they could clear the cap space to afford Reeves. Now, as he points out, ultimately there's a strong belief within league circles that the Lakers will offer Reeves close to or the full max, and he'll stay in L.A. So that's one topic, but here's another. We now have credible reports that the Pistons have called on Trey Murphy, that they have called on Kyrie, and that they've shown interest in Austin Reeves. And now Trajan, just at a press conference at this hour, has talked about trading up in the draft. The big move that fans have been clamoring for in Detroit for all our teams, my money's now on the Pistons being the team that does it. Their name is associated and been included in a lot of stuff from credible sources. And now he's saying he might move up in the draft.
Well, that was with the draft. Also, according to Hunter Patterson, Langdon spoke that the Pistons will be very thoughtful and intentional in improving the team this offseason. But he does mention they aren't interested in giving up too many assets to do so.
Well, I mean, that's fine. That's a different quote, because a year ago at this time was when he gave the quote, "I don't anticipate being very aggressive." And that's kind of summing up what he said. I mean, this is interesting. Are you reading the breadcrumbs here? Do you think Trajan's going to go big or bigger this offseason?
I don't know if I do.
Don't you?
I mean, you see things that they're not looking to give up any assets in the trade market. So, I mean, what are the assets? If an asset is Ron Holland and they're not willing to give up Ron Holland to make a trade.
We don't know what he's referencing. Yeah, he said too many assets, right? It wasn't that he wasn't afraid to give up assets. He didn't want to give up too many.
It says many assets. Okay. Well, whatever it is. Yeah. It's when it comes. So does that sound like you're going to give up a bunch of first round picks?
That would seem like too many, like you'd be putting a limit on that.
So I don't know if we're going to see a ton done here other than free agent-wise.
Could be a free agent.
I think they could sign some free agents, but I don't know if it'll be – I think it might be on the margins again.
Well, I'll say this. It's more encouraging than a year ago when he flat out said, I don't anticipate
being aggressive. Well, he did say that. You're right. A year ago, he did say on the margins. So I don't know. We shall see. I think he's somebody who plays things so close to the vest, and he's so vanilla when he talks.
Well,
and I don't mind that, by the way. It is who he is. I think it's curious.
Less than what he talks, more so I'm intrigued with who people are saying he's calling about. Kyrie, Trey Murphy, and Austin Reeves. 248-539-9797. Piston fans, what do you make of this? It is Carson Anderson on a Thursday on 97.1. Doug Karsh, Scott Anderson, 97.1. Open lines, 248-539-9797. Talk a little bit about Trajan Langdon meeting with the media. And look, I think there's some breadcrumbs there. I think this team might be more aggressive than Gator thinks, although it's certainly more aggressive than last year. It appears, given the fact that their name has been associated from credible reports, that they've called about Trey Murphy, they've called about Kyrie. And now there's a report that they've shown interest in Austin Reeves. There is some speculation in the media about what Jalen Duren might get, and I'll be intrigued to know if fans, what fans think of it. We'll get to that coming up today at 11:38. Kang, you're a Kyrie fan. You think that this could work in Detroit?
Yeah, I mean, from a basketball perspective, I actually think he's like the perfect type of player they need. Someone who can handle the ball. I mean, he's got, you know, one of the, if not best handles in the league. He's got playoff and championship experience. He can make a bucket, create his own bucket. He can shoot from three. From that standpoint, I think it's perfect. Now, the cons are obviously he hasn't played basketball in over a year and a half. Some say he's, you know, mentally not what you would want on a team and a bad locker room guy. I would dispute that, especially how he's been in Dallas. I think he's matured a lot, and I think he's admitted some mistakes he's made in the past. And I don't think it would cost you a ton to get him. So I think that type of move is more realistic. Like, I don't think they're going to get, well, I don't have problem talking about the big name guys like Porter Jr. and Trey Murphy, but I don't think they're going to be able to go there, or Austin Reeves. I just think the asking price is too much, but I do think they're going to go something above marginal, which was last year he said on the margins, right? And I think the in-between move is a guy like Kyrie, where it's kind of like above the margins, but not a big splash move, because I feel they want to continue this escalating, you know, progression that they have. And I don't know if they're willing to go over the top for it and give up, you know, maybe one of the core guys. And I'm not saying they should, but it takes an aggressive move.
Well, it's faith in what you have or not, right? It's okay. I expect that the guys we have on this team, because we're a young basketball team, I expect them to grow and take another big step forward next year that will help erase the bad taste in your mouth from this past season. But I don't know if you'd fully trust that. So it's a tough position to be in. And then you got to worry about salary caps and all that. I've floated the idea. Kane and I have been talking about Kyrie Irving for months. I floated that idea three or four months ago. And I find it curious just because of the talent that he is. But yeah, there's a ton of risk because he hasn't played forever. And because you don't really know what you're getting outside of what you see on the court, which might be a big deal.
248-539-9797. Yeah, look, what you'd be getting is a proven player.
Mm-hmm.
You'd be taking on something that you don't quite know what you're getting. How are you fitting the room and all that? I would hope that they would do a lot of due diligence. The word is he's not as available as people think, so we'll see. In the meantime, the New York Times is speculating about the future of Jalen Duren. Duren is eligible for a contract, a five-year contract worth up to $287.1 million. New York Times reports a five-year, $200 million deal would value him at $40 million a year, keep him in Detroit through much of his prime. That feels like a potential endpoint. How would you feel about a five-year, $40 million deal?
Well, it's better than a five-year, $50 million deal or whatever. But I know a lot of people are soured on Jalen Duren based on what happened in this most recent postseason. And there's reason for that. He literally had half the production that he had what he was averaging in the regular season. I think that it had to be some sort of an anomaly. I mean, there's got to be some reason to explain away why that was. I think part of it might just be that his deficiencies. But he's going to have to get better. But he's only 22 or 23 years old. He'll get better. He's not a finished product. This is a very productive player for this team this past season. He was, what, second team All-NBA or third team All-NBA? He's really good, but he had a horrible postseason for him. I think it's one of these things you say, yuck, throw it in the garbage and move on. You know, Tobias Harris was labeled as a bad postseason performer based off of, what, two bad postseasons he had with Philadelphia. And he ended up, you know, scoring 20 points a game and like eight straight for the Pistons in the playoffs. So things can change. You're not defined, certainly not defined who you are at 22 years old. I don't have any problem if let's say another team signed to an offer sheet for that and then the Pistons matched it. I'm not going to have a problem with that because I think he's good.
Team can. I think the most they can offer is less than $40 million per year. Kang, do you know the number? Isn't it less than $40 million a year over 5 years?
What another team can offer?
Yeah. I think the max that another team can offer is actually less than $40 million.
Well, then that's even better. Then you match that offer.
Yep.
I think there's no question that Jalen Duren lost some money in this postseason.
Yeah.
But he's still, I think, a huge part of this team's future.
Am I wrong on this, Kang?
Believe it's less. I thought the number was like $177 million over like four or five years.
Yeah.
Because, in which case you just sit back and see what other teams offer and then you can match it and you'd be in great shape.
Yeah, I think it's 4 years max, $177 million from teams outside Detroit.
Yeah. So Langdon said that he wants to get extensions done with both players, Thompson and Duren, but that they haven't started those conversations yet. He also said that you will never know when those conversations take place.
He said, what do you mean?
He doesn't want anybody to know when it's happening. He's just being secretive about it.
Gotcha.
Like, you guys, we're not telling you.
Well, I wouldn't be so. Listen, I'm hoping Jalen Duren gets better. I think he will get better, Gator. But the argument against that is that obviously he won't get better. And just because he's young doesn't mean that he's going to hit his ceiling. Like you look at a DeAndre Ayton, who had similar type numbers in Phoenix, and look at him now. You know, he's nowhere near the player that they probably thought he was going to be when he was the number one overall pick. So I think you got to guard against that. I mean, the sweet spot probably is right around. I'd love to be like at $39 million, you know what I mean? But he's probably going to get north of $40 million per year was what I would predict.
I'd be okay with $40 million range. Okay, first of all, you can go over the cap in this league, and our owner's shown that he would do that. Secondly, if they're comfortable doing it, that tells me that they think he can be a much more productive offensive player than he was in the postseason. 248-539-9797.
I just wanted to read the quote. Amari Sankofa tweeted this out. He said, Langdon smiled when asked about extension talks with Duren and Thompson and said, quote, there haven't been at this point. And to be honest, you'll never know how those conversations are going.
Okay.
So again, he's a guy who keeps it close to his vest.
Bobby in Dearborn, you're on 97.1. Hello, Bobby.
Hey, how you doing, gentlemen?
What's up?
Great, man. Just I wanted to shoot this at you guys and see what you can give me back, okay? I'm looking at Chet Holmgren for OKC. He was a first rounder, right?
Yeah.
Pretty much the face of the team over there. He won a championship last year.
I mean, SGA is the MVP, but.
Right, right. How did he look in the playoffs this year? How did he look against San Antonio?
Not as good.
Okay, so if we're talking about Durant, who's a 22-year-old, right?
Yeah.
Who's made progression. He played his first playoffs. If he's not worth $40 million based off the market, then tell me how is it that Chet Holmgren is not getting even more criticism for the way he plays?
Well, because we don't do the show in Oklahoma City.
You guys are pretty rational. Yeah, you're pretty rational. What I'm saying is you got idiots calling in and say, hey, we need to trade Durant and blah. You know, come on, man.
Well, it's not trade him. It's not re-sign him. It's not re-sign him is what they're saying.
I got you. Yep. We're not talking about what he's worth. What he should get paid and what he's worth right now at 22 shouldn't be the main topic. You know what I mean? I don't understand it. It's like, dude, don't start talking about this guy's money like he has control over the market. Come on. It's his first playoff. Give him a break. Give him his money, right? Let him train. Show him how to play ball, right? A lot of it has to do with how our defense is good, but our offense is garbage. When we start talking about how
they need to take care of the ball better. They have to distribute it better. There's no question about that. That's actually something that Trajan Langdon talked about today. They have to find more ball handlers. I think what Bobby said is actually kind of spot on when it talks about the money. In the NBA, when you talk about free agency and all that, money is slotted more than anything else. Yep. In baseball contracts or in football contracts, it's different. It can vary wildly from one player to the next. But in basketball, it's pretty set in stone what you got, particularly this age in your career. So, I mean, I guess you're just asking yourself, do you think that is this a team in the future you see winning with Jalen Duren or without Jalen Duren? And if it's with, then the money just falls where it falls.
I feel like that was some sort of accidental argument.
No, I think he was hostile with other people, not with us, but he was hostile with other people.
It's Carson Anderson and 97.1. So I'm sitting around last night and my youngest comes up to me and says, Dad, I was listening to your show today. I said, you were? And he goes, yeah, I was at work. I listened to the show. I said, oh, cool. Any thoughts? You know what he said?
I don't know.
I can't wait to try that McDonald's apple pie.
See. Kid knows.
It's been discontinued for 34 years. And we brought it up yesterday that it's coming back. We lost Scott Anderson for 5 minutes over your enthusiasm. And you got my son amped up to try this thing. And it's
my
actually
job
gone.
is done.
The kids say Gator's cool. But this thing's kind of gone viral. Of all the things we've done on Are You Gonna Eat That? I don't know if I've seen one with just universal excitement as much as the McDonald's fried apple pie that they're bringing back.
When you combine texture with flavor, things really seem to work. Oh, Kang knows this. We watch a lot of Food Network and a lot of these judging shows. They always talk about they want the texture element of it. And, you know, apple pie is great.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's warm or cold, it's great. But when you deep fry the apple pie like McDonald's can do, and you get that crunch, and it's that filling that kind of sticks to the crust as well, and it combines for a perfect bite. It's a marvel to me what they've been able to accomplish with that. And it's also mysterious to me why they let it go for over 30 years.
Doug, does this mean you're going to have to stop by a McDonald's?
It might, yeah.
Wow,
stop
Doug
by
Karsh.
A McDonald's, yeah.
Anyone sees him there, take a picture and send it.
Maybe I'll take a picture myself.
It's like a Bigfoot sighting.
Yeah, right?
he's a good kid and doesn't always make the best choices. We've talked about that. But he, he's... he'll get rewarded with a McDonald's apple pie. Actually, he'll go on his own. Who am I kidding? He can drive. He's got a job. He makes his own money. He doesn't need dad.
Well, he's 12.
Yeah, right. Got this 19-year-old. Daddy's going to take you to McDonald's.
Yeah.
No, he can go on his own, and he'll go on his own. But he is fired up because of you.
Go for a la mode, too, man. Get the soft serve.
248-5 if the machine works, right?
Well, that ain't working.
Yeah. Not that I've ever ordered it. I just see that the people say the machine's never
worked. That machine is about as available as Justin Verlander this year.
Wow.
It's like when they start the machine to make downs, they're like, we're not sure it's going to work, but screw it. We got to put it out there.
It's all we can say.
Who knows? Good luck.
We got three cones and...
Let's go to Rich in Detroit. You're next on 97.1. Hello, Rich.
How y'all doing?
What's all up? Right.
All right. I just want to respond to that last caller. Basically, he kind of discredited one because he said that this is Doran's first playoff.
It was his second, yeah.
His first.
It's a second.
So I think Doran money should be based off of what he's proven. And I think he's a good player during the regular season, but come postseason, we can't really depend on him. I mean, and three guys I would like to have. One, Kyrie Irving, Trey Murphy. And what do you guys think about putting Zach Edey in that mix, man? I feel like we need a solid seven-footer that can compete with these guys on the West and that can compete with Cat when it comes to the Eastern Conference Championship. I think Zach, even though he had some leg injuries and stuff like that, I wouldn't mind taking a risk.
I got to be honest, Rich. I haven't watched enough of him at the NBA level to know, to be totally honest. So
he was fantastic in the college level. But.
Is there accessibility to him? Are they shopping him?
No. I haven't heard anything about them shopping him, but he is eligible to be traded. So I just feel like that's a guy that we could put on our roster, and he's a solid seven, plus footer that's not going to have to
replace Jalen Duren
defense.
To replace Jalen Duren.
I wouldn't replace Jalen Duren with him, but Jalen Duren would have to understand he's going to have to take less money to get this.
Well, he's not going to get the max that he's eligible for. Okay, let's start there. Secondly, this is the classic Jalen Duren conversation we've had over the last couple of months. Well, I guess since the playoffs ended. When was that? A month ago? A month and a half ago? You're not paying him for this playoff that he just had. If you're going to pay him, it's because of what you think he's going to be. And at 22 years old, I would say that that organization, the Pistons organization, they work with him every day. They know what his work ethic is, his commitment to getting better. And, they know his personality better than anybody else. They perhaps know what he's working on specifically. Like I don't doubt that the Pistons are going to do the right thing with him. This organization's done some really good stuff to get themselves in this position. They've shown great competency. And so now they have a tough decision to make. If they are paying him, it's because they're not paying him for what he did. It's for what he's going to do. And you think about, I think there's a lot of punitive people out there that I'm so mad at the way he played in the postseason, I'm not paying him. Mm-hmm. And then you let him walk, and then he develops elsewhere, and suddenly you lost this great asset, which lives up to being a third-team all-NBA player consistently moving forward, including the postseason, and what a mistake that would be because you're mad. So if they have doubts about him, then let him walk. But at this point, I don't have a reason to distrust the Pistons. It's been a lot of competency out of Trajan and the crew.
Yeah, I think so as well. And the only hesitancy I would have, if you're like, I'll just let him walk, is letting a guy like that who's that talented walk without getting anything in return it would be awful. You know, if you've determined that he's not going to be part of this team's future, then find a way to do a sign and trade.
Yep.
That's all I would ask.
In the meantime, it sounds like they're going to try and get a deal done. The question really comes down to is what will Duren accept, right? There's no, just because the Pistons can offer the most doesn't mean he will accept it, right?
Correct.
People think that because Duren had a poor playoff performance this year, that he's going to go into negotiations and go, yeah, I had a poor playoff performance. That's not how negotiations work. No. His agents are going to go in there and be like, we deserve the max. Because that's what a good agent does. You know, people may hate Scott Boras, but he tries to get the most money for his client. And that's what most agents, if not all of them, should be doing. Now, the Pistons obviously can counter back and say, and in a respectful way, because you don't want to, insult your player and the agent, but say, you know, he kind of did this in the playoffs, right? So I think we're, you know, this is where he's at. The market is where the market is. Like Bobby, that call, he was upset at people for like Chet Holmgren's contract. Yeah, they might regret that contract, by the way, or they might not. The market is where it is. The question is for the team is, do I want to pay that market price for this player? And just like you said, Doug, if they believe in that player, they'll pay it. And if they don't, they should move on.
Yeah, you can get into a weird place, though, that on principle, I'm not going to do something, and you lose players and you suck. But at least you didn't overpay anybody.
And sometimes you got to overpay, you know, whatever the market is, and you feel like you're going to overpay for it, but that's the only way you can keep the player. Tons of players are overpaid all the time, but in the end, do they help you win? And that's the question. Is Jalen Duren going to help this team win a championship?
248-539-9797. Okay. There was some speculation about what could be coming back to Detroit in a Dylan Larkin trade. We will get to that today at 12:20 if you want to stick with us for that. Hey, just a reminder, you can stream this show in a variety of ways. First is the Audacy app. Get it for your mobile device today, AUDACY. Then you can listen to this show and all the shows here on 97.1 The Ticket anytime you want, anywhere. Additionally, you can stream with video at twitch.tv and youtube.com. That way you can watch the show, comment in the streaming chat there. Feedback coming in. Kang's McDonald's ice cream machine Verlander comp, perhaps the most accurate comp ever uttered by human lips. If you drop that comp on a fishing line, stretch it across the Grand Canyon during an earthquake, it wouldn't even wobble. So there you go. Let's hope that Verlander's.
Set to go Sunday. Yep. And give it a shot. Let's
cross our fingers a little bit here that I don't have huge expectations, and the quotes, if you missed them, the quotes, if you missed them, was there's no point in waiting any longer, which isn't exactly, I'm ready to go. Let's go. Right.
Yeah. Well, yeah, things look a little, I'd say my expectations have changed.
Yeah, sure. 248-539-9797. We'll talk some Red Wings at 12:20. Gator, I'm having FOMO. Fear of missing out. And there's no question that we're missing out. And I'm very disappointed. I'll explain what it is today at 12:02. Carson Anderson, 97.1.